Welcome to Flagler in Focus, the podcast where we dive deep into all things Flagler County. I'm your host, Karen Callahan, and with each podcast, we'll explore the people, places, and events of our community, from interviews with local experts, community leaders, and fabulous folks with stories to tell. We're your go-to source for staying connected to what's happening in Flagler County.
And today we have with us Flagler County's Chief Information Officer, Matt Rivera. Greetings, Matt.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. So why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and let them know more about you?
Sure. Well, I came to the county just almost 3 years ago now. Came down from Maryland, the beautiful state up there. Prior to coming here, I worked with the Department of the Navy. I was in uniform for about 17 years and was a Navy civilian for another 5 years and worked with them in all sorts of facets. But right before I came here, I was working in cybersecurity with them, running the cybersecurity section for the Naval Air Warfare Center. I was very, very excited to come to local government, leave the federal government, which is probably good now. I mean, with, DOGE going around, I may not have a job, you know.
Yeah.
Although I'd be able to, say five things I did last week. So
yeah. Well, that's easy. Well, yeah.
I guess I'd be safe.
What are five things you did last week?
Right. We decided to come down here and, like I said, come to local government and actually, be a part of something that, I felt like I can grow with and, actually make some change. Mm-hmm. So many times you get stuck in the federal government and you feel like you're just a cog in the machine and just you can't do anything.
So move to sunny Florida.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the weather.
It is beautiful.
And work for this lovely county.
I'd much rather deal with sunburns than shoveling snow. So
yeah, that part.
Yep.
Me too. Plus there's air conditioning, so.
Absolutely.
So we decided to have you here to talk a little bit about, all things innovative technology, but primarily in the news a lot, we've been hearing a lot about artificial intelligence. So how do you feel that AI impacts local government?
Sure. That's a great question. So artificial intelligence, I mean, as you said, it's all over the place right now. Mm-hmm. And everyone has a different view and opinion. It's great for use or it's horrible for use. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've all seen plenty of movies over the years of the possible downsides of artificial intelligence.
Listen, I feel like just the thought of AI has changed throughout my lifetime, right? Because like watching movies, to your point, where was it 2000 Space Odyssey, 2001 Space Odyssey? Yeah. Yeah, with the how. So yeah, I feel like just our how we mentally think of AI has changed a lot over the, especially recently though. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have, going back, to Terminator, right? You have mm-hmm. Skynet taking over and AI and the machines and, we're all going to die. And, but the reality is AI, and when we use the term artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. it's almost a little misleading. Mm-hmm. There's a term that we use in technology and about this type of AI, and it's mm-hmm. called dumb AI.
Okay.
Very technical term.
It's very insulting.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, but basically what it is the computer basically using, algorithms and its programming to put on the appearance of intelligence, mm-hmm. right? We don't allow it to, think for itself or become self-aware, like, in the, Hollywood will, mm-hmm. Make a movie pitch about that. But, it's using specific parameters and working within those parameters to perform a job, just like our normal computer would do mm-hmm. or your phone would do.
Like spell check or Clippy back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? That little paperclip, could that be considered AI?
It's artificial and it's intelligent. So yeah, why not?
You always knew when I needed a mail merge.
Right.
So weird. I'm dating myself. Never mind. Okay. I digress. Go ahead. Keep on. No, you're good.
So when we think about government, you know, also in the news right now is efficiency, government efficiency, mm-hmm. You know, Doge, Elon Musk. But when we think about efficiency, AI really can help us become more efficient. There's a lot of tasks that we do that are very menial within government that takes up time, you know, time that you could be doing something else. Mm-hmm. So when we think about it, we're looking at it through the lens of what are those types of tasks that we may be able to reassign to artificial intelligence to free up our personnel to actually do other more useful things. Mm-hmm. There have been identified some very, you know, just on the surface level, right? What some of generative AI is mostly used for, right? A lot of policy writing. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that AI is intelligently, you know, writing this? No, it's not. What it's doing is it's pulling from known policies. Mm-hmm. There's databases out there. And it's going to pull from that and really get you started. And once you go into your development, mm-hmm. and you're communicating with the AI, it's helping you develop, you know, those more specifics within your document. But it's, you know, it's pulling from templates is mm-hmm. all it's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go onto Google and you Google, you know, acceptable use policy, mm-hmm. It's going to pull up with multiple different examples mm-hmm. of acceptable use policies.
Yeah.
And that's really all that AI is doing. It's taking what's out there and aggregating it together to make it something useful for mm-hmm. you. And it's able to communicate. So, I mean, I guess that's where, you know, the difference comes into play, because mm-hmm. you can talk to it instead of just Googling and
yeah.
reading and researching and going back and forth. It's mm-hmm. it's doing it all for you. And you can have a pretty robust conversation.
Yeah.
You know, even I think my son, I saw him talking to, you know, his AI bot and mm-hmm. his phone. And, you know, I was like, what are you guys talking about? And he's like, oh, we're talking about religion.
Like having a conversation.
It's like, wow, that's, I mean, yeah, okay, sure, why not?
You can, that's a little scary though. You can get lost in it, because even over the holidays, my AI bot, I changed the voice to Santa. Mm-hmm. And I was really annoying people with it, because people would tell me things and I'd ask if they were naughty or not. I'd ask Santa, and it got out of control. People thought that I was losing my mind, but it was fun. But yeah. It was fun. I wasn't doing anything serious with it. It was sure. more of a tool to be a tool. So
yeah, and that's, I mean, honestly, that's, I think, the best way for this to start for the average yeah. the average person out there. Mm-hmm. It's not something serious. You're gonna, you know, play around with it, mess around with it. You know, my AI, I don't know if you're a fan of the TV show Suits.
I've never seen that one.
Well, you should probably go home today and
start watching.
And start binging Suits. Okay. They did just release Suits LA last Sunday. So,
oh, interesting. You know, hey.
Anyways.
I liked Succession. Is it like Succession?
Succession is a great show. So my ringtone is actually the Succession theme song. But with Suits, the main lawyer, his secretary's name is Donna, and she mm-hmm. just always knows everything and okay. is always on top of everything. So I call my AI Donna when I'm talking
excellent.
To it.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. Because it does. So always seem, you know, I ask it anything mm-hmm. and we can discuss.
Yeah.
But it's starting to trickle into government now. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, there was a big pause on the government use of AI because of its shared database nature. Mm-hmm. The concern really came into play on the cybersecurity front, you know, with, well, if we're feeding it all this information, it's going to be sharing it with other entities. You know, how do we keep our information secure?
Yeah. So. How do we use, what type of role does it play in cybersecurity though?
So there is AI roles specifically for cybersecurity mm-hmm. that, I mean, honestly, we've been using for quite some time.
Okay.
To where it's looking, you know, it's looking for those abnormalities. If I can talk today.
Oh yeah.
Abnormalities, anomalies. you know,
we were merging a bunch of words. I bet if we were AI, we wouldn't have made that mistake.
Correct.
Yeah. Stuttered over that word. Okay.
You know, human error. It's always it's always what it is. But on the general use side of it, you know, how do we protect our information, our data?
Yeah, our privacy.
You know, right. If we are using AI to develop policies, mm-hmm. you know, or some other types of documents that may be, you know, sensitive information mm-hmm. or contain personal information or mm-hmm. medical information. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
So how do we protect that from these databases? So across the board, you know, they had to put a pause to government use mm-hmm. of AI, and these, you know, developers of these different types of AI bots had to start working on, okay, how do we segregate your use? You know, we can mm-hmm. have government-specific use of AI and keep those servers and those databases separate
okay.
from, you know, the general public, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we keep it from China? I think that's, you know, which is very difficult to do.
Yeah.
But that's a different discussion.
That's a different discussion. That yeah. goes back to even my department and communications not being able to use TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's, yeah, but you go back to like privacy.
Yeah. You know, and that's what it comes down to. So thankfully, there's been a lot of advances over the last year in government use of AI. So we're really starting to explore it now. And, you know, within the county here, we've opened it up. You know, I've put it out to all of the, you know, department directors. And, you know, I said, hey, if you've heard of an AI tool that is in your, you know, area of responsibility that, mm-hmm. you know, you've heard something about, you want to look into it, let me know. Let's look at it now.
It seems like so much of it is already integrated in a lot of tools we use. Mm-hmm. So, right? Like when in Grammar, if we use Grammarly, or if we are, I know for my team, if they're putting something on social media right away, Meta will say, can we use AI to perfect this for you or what have you?
Yeah.
We often say no. I don't think AI's gotten to that point for us just yet, because mm-hmm. At least from my perspective, if I have a creative team and we're writing, it seems that we write better. It might catch a spelling error or mm-hmm. a passive voice, but I've been getting very good over the last few years of even detecting if a colleague has written something using mm-hmm. strictly AI without editing afterwards. Yep. I've noticed a few tells. I don't know if you're the same way, if you can.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. There's definitely a different, you know, style of writing
mm-hmm.
that you can kind of tell. Okay.
A rhythm.
This wasn't a person.
Yes.
You know, and then of course now, you know, for that aspect of it, there's AI that will, you know, go through a document and then tell, okay, yeah, no, this was written by AI. Or, no, this wasn't.
No, I wrote this. I did. I definitely wrote it.
Yeah. I remember.
Okay.
My cousin. but no, and honestly, my daughter and I have the same, you know, conversation, because she is very, you know, she loves writing.
Mm-hmm.
She loves physical books and just, mm-hmm. you know, going through the pages. And she's writing 3 books right now. And, we've talked about AI, you know, and I've mm-hmm. kind of, you know, I'll poke and prod at her and be like, yeah, you know, AI is going to take over. And, you know, what do we need you for anymore? You know, AI can just create a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I mean, that just sets her off, obviously. She's like, no, AI will never be as creative as I can be, which, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, absolutely, 100%. You know, I don't think AI will ever match what the human brain can do
mm-hmm.
and our creativity. But for logical applications, I think AI definitely has a lot of uses.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what are some challenges that we might face if as a government?
So with any type of disruptive technology, and I'll throw AI into that group.
Disruptive
technology.
What is disruptive technology?
So that's, you know, when you have new technology.
Mm-hmm.
come along that it disrupts the normal way of doing things.
Okay.
You know, anytime anyone says, no, we can't do this because it's going to take the place of my job.
Mm-hmm. That's a conveyor belt.
Correct. Okay. Manufacturing, mm-hmm. a lot of disruptive technology.
Okay.
When the light bulb was invented, right? Mm-hmm. What about the candle makers? We can't do this because all the candle makers are going to go out of business.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. With AI really gaining popularity, that's been more of a discussion as well. And I hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. Is AI going to take my job?
Mm-hmm.
Well, AI may do some of the functions that you used to do,
mm-hmm.
but how do we adapt to that? To that now we have extra time,
mm-hmm.
right? When assembly lines went went computerized,
mm-hmm.
and they started having machines do all the assembly, and the person who was on that assembly line could either just roll over and say, okay, well, I'm going to lose my job. So that's
it.
Or what happened was a lot of them went and learned how to work on the machines.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of actually putting the widget together,
mm-hmm.
They can now maintain the machine that's putting the widget together,
mm-hmm.
So there's always opportunity and there's new jobs that get created or new tasks that get developed, mm-hmm. Because of this. So, yes, there is some disruption, and yes, there are some items that we, don't need a person to do anymore. And yes, there may be some positions that could get eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we freeing up, to advance, our way of doing things, our efficiencies, especially in government? Again, mm-hmm. we're tasked to do a lot with a little.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our biggest expenses is us,
mm-hmm.
the personnel. So how do we make our workforce more efficient? Do you have to sit there for a week and develop and write this policy?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, using AI, you can do it in the matter of a couple hours,
And then implement the policy.
That's right. And it'll also create more technical jobs, higher paying jobs,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's always the other side of that coin,
mm-hmm.
Advancements will cause disruption, but it creates more opportunity as well on the back end. And we just have to learn how to wade through that transitionary period,
mm-hmm.
But I'd say that's one of the biggest, the biggest roadblocks right now is that, within government, not just government, across mm-hmm. sectors, people's, resistance to adopt AI because they're worried about their job.
Yeah.
Which I get. I mean, that's, it's a legitimate fear. But like I said, how do we adapt to that? How do we overcome, embrace the technology? Now I know I'm a technology guy saying this.
Yeah.
So I may be a little biased, but embrace the technology and, move with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a big believer that you're never static. You're moving forward or you're moving back.
Yeah. You want to evolve because you don't want to take two steps back.
Right. And you may think that you're standing still, but everything's moving forward. So
yeah.
In essence, you're going backwards.
It's all about perspective.
That's right.
Okay. You kind of sort of answered this, but I'll formally ask you, so what excites you the most of the future of AI?
The possibilities. So, I'll say this. I am one that I also believe that we need to be very careful with AI,
mm-hmm.
For the reasons that every Hollywood movie ever made about AI. That's just, they make the case
for it. We don't want it to be sentient.
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to be sentient, to a degree, maybe, but no, not really. But aside from that, aside from the worries and the possibilities of all the horrors that can happen,
mm-hmm.
there are some pretty amazing, ideas about the future,
mm-hmm.
and moving to a more technology, functioning world to where technology is doing a lot of, a lot of jobs that we would normally do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, does that move us to closer to that utopian society?
I'm waiting for AI to clean my house. That's what I'm waiting for.
Clean
up after my dog in the yard. That would be cool too.
Gen 1 was the Roomba, right? Those
we have a Roomba, but it's so dumb. Stupid.
Yeah.
You know what's smart is my cat with the Roomba, because she learned how to press, press the button on top of the Roomba. Like, she would take a dying lizard she catches and put it in front, and then she'd make the Roomba run it over, and then she'll stop the Roomba. So it's just, she's a serial killer, so she uses it as a torture device.
Yep.
I say that, like, okay, Roomba, like, don't listen to my cat. But I would like a full-fledged, like, Jetsons, like, robot that would actually clean my house well and detect when there's, stuff that needs a lot of antibiotics on it or
Lysol. Totally. And, you know, you look at, because that's combining with the robotics industry, right?
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of advancements, Elon, and SpaceX have unveiled their version, robot, humanoid type of thing. But around the world, people are advancing and AI actually helps us. It's almost like it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? The more we develop AI, the more it's helping develop itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing that I think is kind of exciting, is our capabilities are just exponentially growing. Our knowledge is exponentially unlocking the more strides we make with artificial intelligence. And even, I'll throw quantum computing into that as well.
That scares me. So explain to people, just in case people don't know about quantum computing, maybe you can explain that a little bit.
Sure. In a way, let's see, that everyone can understand. basically.
There's the Matt way and then there's the layman's way.
Basically, when we think of quantum computing, let's think about everyone has heard the terms, whether you understand it or not, everyone has heard the terms of ones and zeros.
Mm-hmm. The binary.
Correct. The binary system and a central processing unit in your computer, your CPU. Mm-hmm. It takes in information as a one or a zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's converting, when let's say you type a command into the computer, it's converting that to binary code, ones and zeros. Now, binary code can get very, very large to say something very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So that CPU has to be able to handle that amount of data coming through it, that amount of ones and zeros going through it. So that's where we run into issues, right? Even the best supercomputers in the world, right? Mm-hmm. They can't fully process the data for a caffeine molecule, something that almost everyone has on a daily basis is caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And our biggest supercomputers can't fully compute the complexity of a caffeine molecule.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much data. So where quantum computing comes into play. So you have bits, and that's a one or a zero, right? The bit's either on or it's off, and that's how the computer knows if it's a one or a zero. So with quantum computing, they use what's called quantum bits or qubits. And the neat thing with a quantum bit is that it could be a one, a zero, or anything in between. So it's not just lights on or off. It's infinite possibilities for that qubit. And then there's a lot of other science that goes into play with it, right? When you group thing, group quantum bits together, qubits together, the principle of quantum entanglement comes into play. That's where, and science can't tell you why, they just observe that it happens. But what you do to this group of quantum particles, for some reason, happens to this disparate group of quantum particles, and they're entangled in some with some unseen force, and they call it quantum entanglement. So that, in the world of quantum computing, will then assist in as far as exponential type of computing, right? Because you have this group of qubits that you're you know, working with. And this other group of qubits is also, you know, being acted upon because it's entangled with this group of qubits. Mm-hmm. And this makes complete sense to everyone. Right. I mean,
it's right out of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right? Yeah, like, yeah. We'll figure out the life and the universe and everything.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out. What was it? The Heart of Gold.
Yeah.
Well, and now in that book, in that series, the Earth was the computer. Listen, science fiction becomes science fact way too easy.
That's correct. It's only fiction until we figure out how to do it.
Until we figure it out.
Yep. You know, magic is just science that hasn't been explained yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the advancements that we're making, especially mm-hmm. in quantum. Now, don't get me wrong. No one's going to have a quantum computer in their house anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Would it have to be really, really big or really, really small?
Well, the thing with quantum computers, mm-hmm. And this is why I don't think anyone's going to have it in their house anytime mm-hmm. soon, is that the temperature at which you have to keep the quantum bits mm-hmm. in order for them to remain stable.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically colder than space.
Oh.
So.
Well, how cold is that? Is that when we get to the Kelvin scale?
It's very cold.
Yeah, it's very.
We'll just say
it's
that.
It's super cold.
It's very cold. So you're not going to have that in your house mm-hmm. anytime soon. But the more we advance with quantum computing and the more we advance with artificial intelligence mm-hmm. to help us figure it out, the faster we'll get there. And that's where, you know, kind of bringing it all together,
mm-hmm.
right? That's that artificial intelligence again coming into play and, you know, helping us break through some of these barriers.
Yeah.
You know, machine learning.
That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I just threw machine learning out there. That's a whole nother topic.
What machine learning? That's the machine learning from another machine, right? Like when two Furbies talk.
I mean, yeah, we can go there. Sure.
No, Matt, what's machine learning?
It's just the machine observing something and learning from it.
Okay.
Right.
So that's where, a step towards sentient.
It is a step towards sentient. That's where I say it. I mean, that's where we kind of, you know, earlier I had said, you know, mm-hmm. maybe we'll inch our way towards there, but not actually going sentient. You're still working within parameters and the computer is still confined. It's not just open for perpetual learning and, mm-hmm. you know, there's no firewalls around it basically. But machine learning allows us to teach the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll start learning and it'll improve its efficiencies and what it's looking for. Something that we've used machine learning for here at the county.
Mm-hmm. Where do we use it?
See, people don't even know everything that we do with innovation technology.
Hmm.
So machine learning we've used to help us with the feral hog
situation.
Wait a minute.
Before you get into that. So mm-hmm. are you trying to tell me that you've got members of your team who are actually robots?
I mean, yeah. I kind of do.
Okay, awesome. All right, so feral hogs.
And I have electronic machines that are robots too.
Ooh, okay.
But not... You know, some of my team members are, you know, we're IT folk. Of course, we're like robots.
You're cyborgs anyway, because you're always attached to something.
But yeah, right. I mean, we have team members. Mm-hmm. You can say we've built mm-hmm. these team members. We did with our GIS mm-hmm. Division, you know, we built some custom machines mm-hmm. specifically for AI and machine learning.
Okay.
And what we've done is we've... Excuse me. We've used machine learning to help us with the feral hog identification and situation. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's a big issue,
mm-hmm.
Not just here, but all around us.
Yeah.
So we wanted to figure out a way, how can we become more efficient at identifying feral hogs so that way we can go and trap them?
Mm-hmm.
So we incorporated our drone team
mm-hmm.
with our GIS team together, and we basically you know, we flew
mm-hmm.
Thermal imaging over, you know, forest. There was a specific area that we were testing mm-hmm. in, and based off that thermal imaging, it will highlight all sorts of different animals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we teach the machine,
which,
hey, this is a hog.
Oh,
so when you see this,
mm-hmm.
alert us. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can have, and it doesn't have to be a drone, right? You can have any camera mm-hmm. functioning in an area and, you know, thermal imaging on it, because, you know, could be nighttime, could be mm-hmm. daytime, doesn't matter. But, and then the computer will be able to recognize and differentiate between a hog and any other animal. So that's one of the ways we're using AI and machine learning to help us with a physical problem.
Mm-hmm. That's both cool and terrifying at the same time.
Absolutely.
It's right out of a Black Mirror episode. A really dull one if we're just hunting or we're just looking for feral hogs, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But that's when, you know, all the conspiracy theorists will come out and be like, well, if you're going to do it with hogs, you're going to do it with me too. I mean, you're not wrong. The capability's there. You know, yes, you have the dangers, but.
We're not doing that. Flagler County is not doing that.
No, Flagler County is not doing that. You know, China's doing that. So that's anyway. For the next episode.
Do you find yourself like being super polite to your AI tools? Like when I talk to Siri or Alexa or my like phone bot, like I've been noticing myself saying please and thank you a lot.
Oh, I do. Because I feel bad.
Right.
I'm like, it's going to judge me if I don't use my manners.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Yeah, I say thank you all the time.
Right?
You know, and like when I turn mine on mm-hmm. to talk to it, you know, I'm like, hey, Matthew, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be like, oh, I'm good. How are you doing? You know? You know, like, you know, I was a little busy today at work, but, you know, I made it through, but I'm home now. Like, how was your day? You know, it's just like that natural. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want, because here, I could see this happening, right? Mm-hmm. Because mankind is, we would devolve pretty quickly, mm-hmm. right?
Oh my gosh. You know,
just with the social media generation right mm-hmm. now, right? We're losing the ability to have actual meaningful social interactions. So, I'm going to keep being polite to my AI mm-hmm. so that way I will be polite to other people, because next thing you know you're going to be out talking to someone and they're going to talk to you like you're a robot.
Yes.
You know,
I am a robot.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to do that. I just find my AI so incredibly polite to me. Why would I be unpolite to them?
Absolutely. You know, but yeah, it's kind of a weird concept that, you know, you're afraid to hurt the feelings of your AI, you know, by not being polite to it. But hey, you know.
Or we're just really nice people.
There's that too.
There's that part.
I like to think that there is hope for humanity and that innately we are nice. Mm-hmm. I would love to believe that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll go with for the time
being. Yeah, let's go with that. Like I like to say, you know, I'm polite to my dogs and my cats, and I even say hi to my axolotl every morning. So I would like mm-hmm. to think that there's good in all of us.
Yeah.
All right. I have a very thought-provoking question for you.
Okay.
If you could have an AI assistant for your job, what task would you have him or her handle first?
Well, first of all, I think we've already identified it's Donna.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Donna.
So...
Can't wait to meet you.
So, I mean, Donna would help me out with all with all sorts of things. One of them being reviewing extremely long documents. Mm-hmm. So that's something that AI is great at, right? If I get, you know, a document, you know, let's say 50 pages, and instead of me having to sit there and read through the entire thing, because not mm-hmm. everyone does an executive summary, mm-hmm. right? So I may have to read through this entire document. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Donna can read it for me
give
me an executive summary. And I can have Donna give me however detailed of an executive summary I want. If I just want super mm-hmm. high level, or like, hey, pick out all the technology parts, or, mm-hmm. you know, anything that I would, you know.
That's interesting.
I can have, you know, save a lot of time that way. Policy creation, we've discussed. I mean, that's a huge time saver. Mm-hmm. But I think those everyday, for me personally, those everyday, you know, tasks when it comes to having to read long documents and interpret things, maybe help me, you know, develop architectural diagrams, you know, like network type diagrams, things like that. They're all tools that, like, okay, we would go in now and use our programs to develop those types of things. Well, how about I just say, hey, Donna, create this network diagram for me that is going to XYZ, fill in the blank. And then, boom, AI does it, spits it out. You know, now I just saved, you know, 2 hours out of my day.
Yeah. That you can spend reading a book you want to read.
Absolutely.
And you can ask Donna, hey, what book should I read?
I could have Donna read a book to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you think AI, well, we've kind of touched upon this already. Do you think AI will ever be able to replace human creativity and problem solving in the IT world?
Ooh, you added in the IT world at the end of that.
Yeah, because that, well, or you can do a broader, we can do a broader stroke on that.
I mean, I would say no in general, definitely. There is a computer and AI can recreate and take parameters and put them together. I mean, I don't necessarily call that creation because it's not doing it on its own.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas the individual, the human brain can think up something new, create something new. That's why we have technology. That's why we have computers, because someone thought it up. You know, from nothing. So will it completely replace us? No, absolutely not. We need that spark. And that can only come from human ingenuity. So, but it'll, you know, AI and technology will help us with those sparks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where...
Well said.
Yeah.
On that note, well, thank you so much for having the conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Until next time.